chapter 15 and verse number 51. When we look at the subject, our theme for the year is God is greater, and each Wednesday of each month we have a sub-theme, I guess you could say, looking at the greatness of God and His power to help us to be overcomers. And for January, we're looking at God is greater than the world. And when we focus our attention on looking at the world and preaching and teaching and learning and studying about the world, there are two perspectives that we can look at. Jesus told us that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so the last couple of Wednesdays, we looked at the idea of we're not of the world and what it means to be worldly and what it means to have the mind of the world that is contrary to the mind of Christ. But tonight we're going to take a turn here, and we're going to look at the idea of being in the world and victory that we have in Jesus Christ over a temporal world. The victory that we have in Christ over this temporal world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." We all want the incorruption and the immortality. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says that one of the ways the Christian will achieve that is through the doors of death. And there are many unknowns when it comes to death. But for the Christian, the Bible makes it clear that this is the doorway into the presence of God and into this immortality and into this incorruption. So verse 55 says this, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Sin is transgressions, and transgression is crossing the line. And so if you don't have a line, how can you cross a line? So the strength of sin is the law. You've broken the law of God. You've crossed the line. And so the Bible says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, now many, many, many months ago, we looked at studying the Bible and how to study the Bible. And we always, when we see therefore, we always check to see why it's therefore, right? And so he's saying because of these things, because we have victory over a temporal world, because this world is not our home, because for the Christian there's a greater hope. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we look at this scripture together and give us insight and understanding, and may your Spirit guide and direct our thoughts. I pray you would help us, Lord, to make good decisions tonight that would honor you, that would change the pathway of our life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every day that we live, we have reminders that this world is temporal. It is temporal. I just heard not a couple of days ago the word of death of a friend and fellow servant of Jesus Christ, Sandra Robinson. I grew up in a small church, Calvary Faith Baptist Church, and every Sunday growing up, I knew that church from my beginning, and I only knew that church. And going to that church and being part of that church as a child, and then as a teenager, she was always there serving. And one of my memories that I had with her was that she would always lead the songs for the children. And Sunday morning, the children would always come up to the front, and they would sing songs, and she would always lead those songs. And I know that she was faithful because I was there as a child, and she would lead these songs, and we would sing these songs. Her husband was not a Christian, and her husband refused to enter church, to refuse to hear the gospel message. Pastor Bray, who's still faithfully serving at Calvary Faith Baptist Church, would throughout his years of ministry, would go over and talk with Bobby, and Bobby wouldn't allow him to continue. That was enough. I don't want to hear any more. But Sandra was always faithful. She just kept going to church. She kept serving the Lord in any capacity that she could, and it was just a blessing. And last week, her and her husband were driving home from a town called Antigonish, which was about a 45-minute drive from Sonora. I had made that trip several times as a child, over and over again. And we would go there to buy groceries, or we'd go there to shop, or whatever the case is. And they were driving home, and they hit black ice, lost control of the car, and a head-on collision with another car. And Sandra died in hospital. Her husband has multiple broken bones and now has pneumonia. And Brother Marr was talking to Pastor Bray today, and this just gives me goosebumps, and it just, what a wonderful joy. Her husband on Saturday, Pastor Bray, went to talk to him, and of all the times he tried to share the gospel, he would not listen. And Pastor Bray went over on Saturday, and he prayed and asked Christ to be his Savior. And what a wonderful blessing. I mean, listen, we know that God knows what is best. And here's what we have to understand, because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And our thoughts are often in this world or of this world. But God's thoughts are eternal thoughts. And the best of God, the best work of God, is not for what he accomplishes in our life here, but what he does in eternity in our lives. And the Bible teaches us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so we need to see the eternal. God gives us victory over this temporal world. Now, the sting of sin brings death. Verse 56 teaches us this. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But Jesus has taken away the very sting of death through his resurrection." A little boy was screaming because a bee had flown into his car, and his dad caught it, and in the process, he was stung by that bee. And he told his son, "You know, you don't have to worry about that bee anymore." And he showed his hand where that bee had stung him and said, the bee only has one stinger, and I took and I bore that stinger for you. And that's what Jesus accomplished at the cross. He bore the sting of death for us. And here the Bible says that death has no more sting, that through death we gain incorruption, through death we gain immortality. And so in this passage of Scripture, some context here, there were those at Corinth who questioned the resurrection of the dead. And the Holy Spirit here, of course, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. the Holy Spirit is reminding us of God's victory in our lives over this temporal world, that we are overcomers through Jesus. And the reality for a Christian, and really for anyone, death is not a period, death is a comma. And we have in this passage of Scripture great reminders of this as we desire to live our life to glorify God. And so I want to give you some thoughts here tonight quickly as we think about God's victory over this temporal world. First of all, I think it's important for us to understand the reminder of life's brevity. The reminder of life's brevity. Now, in verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, there's really two expressions or two ideas that the Bible paints for us as far as a Christian passing from this temporal world. The first one is a Christian's going home. We are going to our Father's house. We are going to be with the Lord. And then secondly, we understand the idea of going to sleep. And so the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. That's what Paul is saying here. And in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's writing about the rapture. He's writing about this catching away. But we see, first of all, the brevity of life, that death is sure, except for the rapture for each of us. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Life is a vapor. And the Bible says, "For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Because we see the brevity of life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, it's, and we don't know the plan of God, and we don't understand the plan of God, but we understand that God thinks in the eternal. God thinks in the eternal. I drove that road, my parents and I drove that road as a kid that the Robinsons traveled on hundreds, thousands of times. I remember one time driving home from Antigonish, and there was a snowstorm. And I remember my dad driving. I was probably 6, 7 years old, and we lost control, and we started to do circles in the road. And I never experienced that, but I'll tell you this. I became, in about 3 seconds, the greatest prayer warrior that this world has ever known. I mean, I was in that back seat, and I was just crying out to God as a 6, 7-year-old child. The Bible teaches us that we don't know. Life is a vapor, and it is just a moment in light of eternity. It is just a moment, and our lives will end in one or two ways as Christians. First of all, God will call us home by death, and he says this in verse 51, that we will not all sleep. Death is a homegoing for the Christian. And the Bible says that this time is an appointed time. Psalm chapter 48, verse 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." He will be our guide even unto death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." It is an appointed time. But also, as God's perception of death for a Christian, it is not only appointed time, it's also a precious time. It's also a precious time. Now, again, we have to take our mind from the temporal and we have to place it in the eternal. The Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord. is the death of his saints. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch and God went for a walk one day, and God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than yours. You might as well just come home with me. And the Bible says one day he was and then he was not. God took him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This is a precious time. This is a rejoicing time for God when he looks at the death of a Christian, because it's a homegoing for a child of God. And the Bible teaches us that it is precious, it is appointed. When a Christian dies, his soul and spirit leave the physical body and enters into the third heaven. And this is God's heaven. This is the presence of Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, or we are alive, we are absent from the Lord. We are on this earth. We are physically absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Bible teaches us that death is the homegoing of a Christian. But the context of this passage of Scripture is not just speaking of a Christian going home to be with God by death, but the context of this passage is that God will also call us home by the rapture. And the rapture is when God calls all the believers out of this temporal world to be with him. Now, the timing of the rapture is unknown. But the Bible says that we have to be ready. We have to have our lamps trimmed. We have to be ready because it could happen at any time. And the Bible says at the last trump, we will be caught up. In a moment, the Bible says, we will be caught up. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 says it this way, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so the Bible says that the rapture will be caught up and will be in the presence of the Lord. But also the Bible says that we will be transformed. We will be transformed. Behold, he says in our text here, verse 51, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that was not previously revealed, but now is revealed. And Paul, by the work of the Holy Spirit here, is revealing this to us. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is a glorified body. We will drop that curse of sin. What a wonderful blessing that will be. And the Bible says that we will put on immortality. We will never die. We will live forever. The Bible says that we will put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. So we also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. We'll have a glorified body, a spiritual body. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We'll be changed. We'll be changed. The word there, changed, A different Greek word is used, metamorphos or metamorpho. It means to change into another form, to transform, to transfigure. And the Bible says we shall be changed. I like what they wrote about Benjamin Franklin in his obituary. They said this: the body of Franklin, painter, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and glirting lies here. But the work will not be lost, for it will appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author. The Bible says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. And this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. In a moment, the Bible says, this change will take place. We see also in our text here tonight the reassurance of victory. Now notice what Paul says here in verse 57. He says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I love this. So through death or the rapture, the Bible says the outcome is a glorified body. And the Bible teaches us here that we will put on this immortality, we will put on this incorruption. And this is not because of our merit or our work or our accomplishment, but Paul says here, thanks be to God. This is the work of God. It is God who gives the victory. He is greater. He is greater. The Bible says this in Psalm 98, verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory." God has presented this victory. This is his work. And this victory is a gift. Jesus fulfilled the righteous demands of the law. And God gives us the victory without any conditions as his children. He does not withhold it, but freely he has provided it through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already been victorious over the grave and over death. This victory is a gift. But this gift is a gift of hope, a gift of hope. We have hope of the resurrection. We have hope of the resurrection because of Jesus' own resurrection. And this provides confidence for the future. This is what the Bible says in Philippians 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which have begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The work will be done. This is a gift of hope, but this is also a gift of grace. Romans 6, verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? God forbid." You know, none of us deserve grace. It's unmerited. It's God's unmerited favor. And the Bible says that this victory is a gift. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift of hope. But this victory is also a gift from Christ. He has given us the victory over sin, over Satan, over death, over hell. And the Bible says in this scripture here, it says that our victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The word "through" there, the Greek word "dia," it's a preposition denoting the channel of an act or means by, which means of. Jesus is the means in which we obtain this victory. There is no other way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says if you're going to have victory over this temporal world, then that victory is going to come through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to have victory. It is only through the Lord Jesus. But wait a minute. We have victory over this temporal world. It's a wonderful blessing. So what's the response of a sincere Christian. Well, look what the Bible says in verse 58. Because of all these things, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There were those Christians that were arguing and fighting over the resurrection. And here Paul is saying, listen, stop fighting about it. This is the truth. We have victory over this temporal world because of what Christ has done. So now start serving. Take what you've learned, take what you have, and serve the Lord. So many times we get caught up with many secondary motives and purposes that matter little in eternity. And we can even make carnal means sound spiritual. Paul is saying, stop it. Serve. Serve the Lord. You see, this motivation is positive. He says, therefore, because God gives victory, we are motivated by the love of God. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We are constrained because God loves us and cares about us. And because we have victory through Jesus Christ, we are motivated by the love of Christ, but we are also motivated by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, once in a while, you might meet a sour Christian who is convinced that Christians in the church are just people who hate being faithful, who hate serving the Lord, that they're being dragged to various ministries to serve the Lord. But the reality is, and I can't speak for you, I can speak for myself, we are serving because we're grateful for the victory that God has provided us. We are serving because our love for him is great. And so we see in this scripture, our motivation is positive. But also we notice in this scripture, the manifestation is measurable. Look what he says, all right? Because you have victory over this temporal world, he says, be steadfast. The thought there is to be seated, to be seated. He says, be unmovable. Hold our position with intensity. To hold our position with intensity. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We have to be Christians who know what we believe and why we believe it. We ought never to be a Christian who's just one person away of being sidetracked to a false doctrine. And the Bible says, be steadfast, be unmovable, hold your position with intensity, know what you believe, know why you believe it. But then he says, always abounding. It means going beyond the requirements. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, leisure and rest are needed. There's no doubt about it. But many Christians leisure themselves right out of the will of God. And the Bible says that we're to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, going beyond the requirements, continually to do more, continually to serve. Why? Why? Because of the victory God offers over a temporal world. Because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. because we want to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. Because we want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so the Bible says here, as we serve with this purpose, Paul reminds us to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to always abound. Why? Because our labor is not in vain with the Lord. Because the currency of God is the currency of eternal things. And though we are focused so much of being in the world, God sees past time and space and makes decisions based upon the eternal, the things that we cannot see. It's a wonderful blessing to be a child of God and to know that God has a purpose and plan for our life. And I hope today that you're a Christian. I hope that you know the Lord. I hope that you can say deep in your heart, even tonight, that if you were to die today, that you'd be with the Lord. That you have beyond a shadow of a doubt. You say, well, Pastor Burns, you can't really know you're a Christian. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know. And I hope that you can know. A man can go to heaven without health, without riches, without honors. A man can go to heaven without learning, without friends. But he'll never go to heaven without Christ. Jesus is the only way. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, I hope that you'll trust in him. And Christian, God help us today to move forward in our service to Christ. Because one day we're going to leave this temporal world. One day we're going to go to a funeral and we won't be a guest. And the Bible teaches us that we have victory through Jesus Christ. And may this victory motivate us to continue. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful.